return to the hotline, and we bring in Joel Hammond with the Chronicle-Telegram. A lot to get into with Joel today, including tournament seedings and brotherly love as well. Joel, we appreciate the time. How are you?
Andy, I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
Joel, I want to get into the story that you wrote earlier this morning. Boy, just fantastic stuff. You mentioned brotherly love, and this was really cool. And you really did a nice job of researching the family trees of some of the very athletic families in the area in recent years. How did you connect some of these dots?
This was an idea, actually, that was, each week I survey area coaches and ask, like, you know, what they're seeing from their team, from their opponents, from, you know, in their conferences. And Alan Januzzi from Fireland's, formerly of UC, and he's been around forever. He's a great guy. And suggested that, hey, you know, we've got a lot of, younger brothers of older brothers that are on teams this year. And so I've frankly taken way too long on this story. It's taken me till basically the final week of the season. But, it was fun to connect some of these dots, like you said. And as you note, my lead anecdote was Casey Kelly, who is a guard for Firelands and actually one of the area's best assist guys. He averages almost 5 a game or almost 6 a game. His brother, Kevin, who was a really good shooter for a number of years at EC on the teams with Jacob Kupta and those guys, he's a coach within the Firelands system. So it was fun to kind of connect those dots and hear from Kevin, who's now a coach of Casey, and Casey, who, you know, what he's learned from Kevin. Casey grew up as a ball boy for EC, and a really fun story to share.
Yeah, and it was fascinating, too, to see some of the comments in there talking about the brothers playing each other one-on-one. There were some comments in there between the Kelly brothers that I think I probably may have said once or twice to my brothers about some one-on-one action.
Yeah, and me too, you know, and so that's a fun part of it, too. Kevin made sure to note that no matter how much he teaches his younger brother, he'll never beat him one-on-one. So it was a funny, had to lead with that one. But, you know, you look at some of these brothers that have come through some of these area programs, one of the most famous ones has been C.J. Conrad, who is headed to the NFL, really. He's headed to the Combine next month and then to the NFL draft as a tight end out of Kentucky. And his brother Austin plays football at Ohio. Those guys both played basketball for Keystone and were very successful doing it. They were on conference title teams. And, you know, Jeff Holzhauer from Keystone noted a bunch of other ones. You know, the Cole brothers, Brandon, graduated in 15, and Brody was a 1,000-point scorer, graduated last year. They also played on conference championship teams. And what I heard from these coaches was basically, you know, these guys, part of it is I want to do better than my brother did, right? So if my brother was on an Austintown Fitch team that won 15 games, I wanted to lead my Austintown Fitch team back in the day to 20 wins, that sort of thing. So it fuels it. You understand the expectations of your coach better, of your teammates, of the program, and it just kind of keeps that tradition going.
Let's dive into the seating for the boys, and I know this is something that you detailed on Monday morning, and you really kind of highlighted some very difficult paths that lie ahead for some teams that have been incredibly successful this season. I want to begin with Vermilion. I thought that was really fascinating because, as you detailed, Vermilion ends up being the only team in that particular bracket to get a bye, and the 1 and 2 seeds are on the bottom half of the bracket. That says a lot about the top half of that bracket and how stacked it is.
Yeah, that division, Andy, is one of the – or district, excuse me, the Northwest District there, which Vermilion gets placed into. They're one of the – it's one of the few districts left that does its district draw where you give the one seed the opportunity to place itself on the bracket, right? So Norwalk, the number one seed, places itself on the bottom half, and Lexington, the number two seed, clearly either wanted to play closer to home or they wanted to avoid Vermilion. I think it was more of the former rather than the latter, but – so they get themselves on the half of the bracket with Norwalk, the number one seed. So Vermilion basically doesn't have to play a team seeded higher than it until a potential district final. Now, that district is loaded with Sandusky and Clear Fork and teams like that. So it will not be an easy path for the Sailors, but they have an easier path if Norwalk or Lexington would have placed themselves on Vermilion's half of the bracket.
Again, Joel Hammond with the Chronicle-Telegram, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, talking some high school hoops. And let's get into Clearview here, because you kind of detailed just how difficult their path is going to be as well. I mean, they could be a divisional champ as well, still getting a 7 seed at the Division II bracket. It's going to be really fascinating to see how that plays out, because their path could be extraordinarily tough.
Yeah, boy, that was my first reaction when these brackets started to come out last Sunday, was, wow, Clearview, which they're 14-5. If they beat Fairview tonight, they're going to win their division. How do they get a 7 seed? Well, I started asking around last Sunday, and, you know, frankly, it wasn't that big of a surprise to other coaches. You look at the district, Cleveland Central Catholic, obviously, is a really good team. A little surprising to see Holy Name as the number 2 seed, but they can really score. And then the 3 seed there was Bay, which I believe went to the state Final Four last year, at least to a regional final. And then you go to 4, which is Fairview, which really beat up on Clearview in their first meeting. You've got Buckeye at number 5. Now, it's a little funky because Clearview had just beaten Buckeye, but some of those votes may have already been in. And then Rocky River, a little surprising to be ahead of Clearview because Rocky River is going to finish like 4th at best in its conference. Now, its conference is really good, but again, little surprising to see Clearview below the Pirates. But, you know, that's another district that's just flat-out loaded, and Clearview will be. So they start with Padua, and then they'll play, you know, they potentially could play Holy Name in the sectional final. So they just have a really, really tough draw.
No question about it, but it's tournament time. It's not supposed to be an easy path to the end, that's for sure. Let's get into Open Door, my friend. Boy, a tough road ahead for them also, but they actually cracked your top 5 this week. So I want to start there. What was the difference for you with Open Door this past week?
Andy, I'm embarrassed to say, did they win last night?
Yes.
They won last night. So their streak now is at 16. So they're 17-2. They won 16 in a row. You know, we talked about it last week. No matter what your schedule is like, winning 16 in a row is a difficult thing. So they're in the Lake Effect Conference Finals tonight. They play Dalton tomorrow. This is interesting, Andy. You know, they're gearing up for a potential tourney run. They play 5 games in 8 days, including Tuesday against Euclid, which is, as you know, a really good team in the out of the GCC. So they've got a tough road. They're going to probably win their conference tonight. They've got a game against Dalton tomorrow. They play Euclid Tuesday. So my biggest question with Open Door will be, how are their legs going into the tournament? Now, they've got, you know, part of the benefit of being this good. They won't play, you know, they won't play till March 1st in the tournament. So they've got a little time off. So they'll likely use that to rest. They're going to play either Lake Center Christian or Kidron Central Christian, and then they'll take on likely Columbia in a district semifinal, which, as we talked about last week, that's a game that is a rematch of a December like first game that was really one-sided, but Todd Wright and his team think they have a better shot. So really interested to see what happens in Division IV, no doubt about it.
Joel, I know you talked with Todd Wright a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it came up in conversation or not, but about that conference tournament, is he impartial to it? Does he like it kind of going into the tournament to have that feeling, look, lose and you're out? As I know, beginning of the season, he was a little sour on it, so to speak, but I wondered if he'd brought it up.
He did not bring it up. I think at this point, I think they're living on cloud 9 no matter what happens, Matt. You know, they've had a really good year. I think their season has really been a payoff for all the hard work their senior class has put in. We've talked about that group a number of times, but, you know, Trey Brooks and Jared Blublenik and those guys and Carter Wright, you know, they view this season as a vindication of what they've done the last few years. And I think they'd play anybody at any point right now, judging, you know, and they're going to get their chance because, you know, Euclid will be a really tough test for them on Tuesday.
No doubt about it. Again, Joel Hammond with the Chronicle-Telegram, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, talking some high school hoops. The tough road ahead for a lot of teams who have had very, very good regular seasons, which will come to an end at some point next week. And I want to get into this Lorain team here. Boy, while Devon Grant made a lot of the noise for Lorain this week because of his terrific performance on Tuesday night against Elyria Catholic, where he went off for 44 points and he knocked down 10 three-pointers. Tavon Pierre-Lewis was your player of the week. What exactly made him stand out?
Yeah, so, of course, I make Tavon the player of the week the evening before I figured out that Grant had 44. So that's just great, isn't it?
But to your defense, though, you mentioned, look, as good as Devon Grant is, you can make him the player of the week every week. You've got
That's
to
right.
balance it out a little bit.
Sure. So Grant, on Grant real fast, 31 straight free throws made. He set school records this year, including threes in a game the other night with 10, threes in a season, 74. What is that? In 19 games, quick math, that is what? 4 a game almost. Free throws in a season, he's got 127 and a school record of 44 the other night. So an incredible season for him. I wish he was going to Bowling Green and not Miami. But, yeah, Pierre-Lewis, Friday night, he scored 32 for the third straight game. He had 10 on Tuesday, of course, as he kind of took a back seat to Grant. But, you know, he's averaging, Tavon's averaging 17 points, 4 assists, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, an unbelievable season. Brian Corey from Lorraine, their AD, told me that he's getting some looks from some mid-majors. He's at a disadvantage, and he's only 17. He won't turn 18 until September. So really, he should be a junior, you know, and so he thinks that he'll likely go to a JUCO or a prep school to kind of, you know, he might have growing to do still, you know. So I think you'll hear more from Tavon Pierre-Louis down the road.
That's the thing. Tim and I were kind of talking before in the paint show that we post on WEOL.com is how good Lorraine would be without Devon Grant. They'd still be a solid team, but, I mean, you add that to the mix, and they're pretty tough to beat.
Yeah, they're. I mean, again, us three talked last year throughout the tournament run. You know, frankly, I expected Lorraine's lack of depth to catch up with them last year. I think you guys did too, right? I mean, they were kind of living on borrowed time. They're playing six guys against these, you know, big programs, and it never hurt them. This year, you know, they're way deeper this year. You know, they've got maybe not in the number of guys they play. You know, I haven't seen them this year. I'm going to see them tonight at Lutheran East. So. I'm really looking forward to that. But, you know, they may not play more guys this year, at least meaningful minutes, but they have better guys, you know, 1 through 5 or 6. So, you know, when Jordan Jackson is your fourth guy, you're sitting pretty. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing him tonight and throughout the tournament.
Yeah, we look forward to reading the article tomorrow morning in the Chronicle-Telegram as well. That should be a good one tonight, Lorraine taking on Lutheran West. Let me ask you this, along the same lines here of the player of the week, what exactly stands out more? Or what do you hear more? I guess what's more common with the player of the week as far as their interests? Playing Fortnite as a hobby or having LeBron as their favorite athlete? What's more common when you talk to some of these kids?
I really should have studied these answers all season because Fortnite is a common response. LeBron as your favorite athlete is a common response. It's funny. It really depends upon what position these guys play. So like Devon Grant earlier in the year, he said a guard, right? So Tavon said LeBron, but inevitably if it's a guard that is the player of the week, sometimes it's common that there's a guard as his favorite player. So and sometimes their favorite players, favorite athletes aren't even basketball players. It's interesting to watch who those respond. I should really go back through all the responses and do a quick little study and report back to you guys. Now that you're giving me homework.
Well, no, I just thought it was interesting because, you know, LeBron comes up simply because he's this era's Jordan. You know, right, when we were growing up, if you were to ask a lot of kids their favorite player, they would have immediately defaulted to him. And you look at this whole Fortnite explosion. I mean, that's really gotten so huge over the last 5 years and change. So I guess it's not totally uncommon to see those answers. I read that earlier today, and I thought, wow, how many times have we seen that this year? LeBron and Fortnite. Seems like they kind of go hand in hand with the interest of these kids, right?
Absolutely.
Very good stuff. All right, Joel. Well, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much for joining us. Have some fun at Lutheran East tonight. We look forward to reading the game recap tomorrow in the Chronicle. We'll do this again next week.
Okay, guys. Talk to you then.